You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are kicking off Act 2 here on this scorcher of a Wednesday night. I bet it's still 80 degrees out, Conrad.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm happy for just one last week of warm weather, and then I'm guessing it's going to get cold again next week, but no. Yeah,
we'll see what happens. We're having a lot of fun tonight, folks. Mike McGill is here. He is an Appleton native who has been doing some great things out in Hollywood. He's got some great credits. We're going to talk to him about Shameless in just a few minutes. He did many, many episodes of Shameless. Our question of the night is, who is the best pro athlete turned actor or actress? And Conrad, I don't know if you saw this text. Your dad had a great one. And I'm going to try to find it right now, but you could probably find it faster than I can because...
Well, yeah, I already know what he was going to... What he's going to say.
Did he tell you ahead of time?
No, I know what he would say.
Just know your dad?
Yeah.
All right. So Steve from Florida says, hands down, athlete turned actor, all around personality, Bob Uecker.
Yep.
Again, I didn't even think of Bob Uecker. He could have played any character if Hollywood gave him a chance. But as we all know, he was kept back in the back row. I agree with you for the most. Maybe we get Mike McGill's take on this. I don't know. Bob Uecker in a serious role, like doing a love scene? He would have made it funny, I guess.
I would pay money for that. Absolutely.
I'm with you.
Take my money, Bob.
Absolutely.
Wasn't Jason Statham, he was like an Olympic swimmer or something, wasn't he, before he became an actor? He's had a pretty good, nice career, too, actually.
Oh, man.
So there's a handful of them.
Yeah. I've seen his name. Some of the texts I have to get to, I've seen Jason Statham's name in there a couple times, and I don't know what he did, but yeah, he obviously was, and I think he was in a professional martial artist.
But, you know, the native Wisconsinite me is going to put Uecker above Statham no matter what, so.
And I didn't mean martial artists like karate. I mean, he drew pictures of marshals. He was very good at it, Mike. He had a good career.
Somebody has to do it. Right?
Drawing sheriffs. So, all right. My guest at the moment is Mike McGill. We've got a few more minutes with Mike. As I mentioned, he grew up in Appleton, and you've probably seen his work if you've watched the show Shameless. You were on pretty much like the run of the show, right, Mike?
Yeah, they hired me. My first episode was the second episode of the first season. So they shot the pilot, and then they brought me in right after that. And you know, the idea was it was going to be, they called it a recurring co-star. And they would dangle that carrot so many times, and you'd think, oh, I'm going to do another episode. And then I'd always do like a one episode and then never get hired again. So I did the second episode of Shameless the first season, and then they didn't bring me back until later that first season, like maybe episode 8. So, you know, episode 3, 4, 5, 6 goes by, and I thought, well, I guess it's another one and done. But thankfully, somebody in the writer's room remembered me, and they started bringing me back in towards the end of the first season. So,
you did like 100 episodes or something like that. And I can hear it. You're such a humble guy. You have that Wisconsin kind of Midwest. You know, as an actor, Mike, what did, and you probably get this question a lot, and I think people are great everywhere. But I only know people from where I've lived, like Chicago, Wisconsin,
sure,
a little bit in L.A. And my first instinct is to say, oh, he's such a humble guy. He's so Wisconsin. But did growing up in Appleton give you a point of view or make you bring certain tendencies to your acting or give you a perspective?
Yeah. I think it's just, you know, it's just how you're raised, where we were raised and the place where we were raised, you know, you just have you bring a blue collar work ethic to it. And that's something that a lot of people, you know, out in the West Coast, they're born with kind of a sense of entitlement. And I'm like, well, let's roll our sleeves up and get to work, man. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
So, you know, it served me well, obviously, for the John Wells shows that were based in Chicago, being from the Midwest, but, yeah, I, you know, it certainly helped me, I think, you know, in my career book jobs, knowing that I'm like, okay, this isn't going to be handed to me. I gotta
right.
Do the work. And you know, at the end of the day, you want it to feel natural. You don't want it to be like, oh God, I can tell this guy's acting, you know?
Right.
So that's what you're going for. So luckily for me, being a drunk barfly wasn't too much of a stretch. So I had lots of practice growing up in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. So what do you prefer, Mike, when it comes to acting roles? Like, do you like big studio films or independent films? Do you feel there's more freedom with independent films, or is it all about the director and what the director's after?
I just like to work, period. You know, I mean, if you get a big studio film, you got more money to play with, obviously, but you also, then you have 50 people that, you know, 50 people that have to sign off on everything. Whereas if you're doing an indie film, you know, like when you guys were probably doing your film, you were the boss and you had final say, and that was it. And that gives you a nice kind of freedom too. So,
right.
You know, if you can find a happy medium, that's why I think a lot of these guys, you know, a lot of guys that are kind of in the pole position, they'll do a studio film or two, and then they'll run off and do a passion project or a little low budget indie film that you know, where they can stretch a little bit and maybe play a role that they wouldn't get to do if within the studio system.
Yeah.
I don't have that problem because the studio and quite frankly, even the indie film circuit isn't calling my name. So I'm just happy to get a gig in there anyway. Give me a paycheck.
It's so hard because so few times in your career in this business, unless you're uber successful, do you ever have FU money? And then maybe the couple
right.
times you find you have it, there's no one to say FU to. It's like the timing
yeah.
never works out, right?
Take a look in the mirror yeah. and say FU to yourself.
Mike, again, I hear the humbleness and all that, but is there, and I know you like to work, and I love when actors say that, you know,
yeah.
I think when we're younger, I remember when I was a stand-up comic and I was jaded already at 24 and thinking I knew everything, and you really have,
yeah.
you know, anything.
Right.
So you get to a point where you're just, you appreciate the work, and it's like, man, if we can figure out a way to fool people and tell, you know,
right.
make a living at this, it's great. You've won the lottery. But are there roles, having said that, where your agent or your reps will call you and go, hey, you're going to read for this? What role would you not want that to be? Are there roles you try to steer clear of?
At this point, not right now, currently, no. I'll take anything you, you know, I mean, I honestly can't think of anything off the top of my head. You know, like I'm smart enough to know at this point I'm not going to get a part that's where I'm going to be the love interest or the lead or like that. You know, I'm a character actor and I would love to find a role that you know suits my personality and you know gruff but lovable and makes the audience laugh or gets the audience to you know connect with the audience at some point, but. There's very few. You know, I remember getting an audition one time where it was just it was some freaky thing where this guy. I mean, I won't get into the particulars for your audience, but it was like, yeah, this guy kind of sounds like he belongs in an insane asylum, or you know, not Arkham Asylum, not on the movie screen. So, but
well,
very few things offend me. But, you know, over the run of Shameless, and I would tell people, like, okay, look, if you've never seen the show, I'm going to tell you right now, it lives up to its title. So, you know, even sometimes we get those scripts, and I'm like, oh, man, somebody's going to have a problem with this, you know. But for Bill Macy, I was like, oh, my God, what a great role for an
yeah.
actor to play. You know, I mean, just, like, whenever anybody asks me, like, who's your favorite character on Shameless, there's no hesitation, Frank.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the stuff they gave him to do. And he was so good, you know?
He was great.
Being a part of me, I was like, man, I can't believe I'm getting paid to have a front row seat to watch him be Frank Gallagher, you know? Honestly.
It's funny, you were talking about how the title of the show is appropriate. My daughter was watching Shameless when she was like a sophomore in high school, before I knew what it was. And I'm like, she's
right.
like, Dad, you want to watch one of these with me? I'm like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, how long have you been watching this? She's
yeah,
like, a couple
yeah.
of years. I'm like, oh my God.
Sometimes people would be like, oh, you know, so-and-so's a big fan. They want to meet you. And I come over, and it's like middle schoolers. And I'm thinking,
Mike, before we let you go, what are some places you like to visit when you come back to it? How often do you get back here, and where do you have places? Like, we used to always say, well, we're going to Leon's in Oshkosh. We're going to this place in Milwaukee.
Definitely Leon's. If I'm in town, I'll definitely hit Leon's. Mim's Charcoal Grill in Manassas.
Oh yeah.
Any Tom's Drive-In, you know, that reminds me of my youth. JD's Drive-In, which is right by Appleton East. Frank's Pizza on College Avenue, which is now Pieri Pizza, and then they have Cranky Pat's and Oshkosh. It's like the same recipe of pizza that was always after we do the pub crawl on College Avenue, we'd always end up at Frank's Pizza at the end of the night. That was definitely one of our big hangouts when I was growing up. Leon's for sure.
Yeah.
Mike, and honestly, you know how it is living on the West Coast. Like, you can't find – it's a hard target search to find any cheese curds out here whatsoever. Oh, yeah. You go back home, and you can go to any Quick Trip. You can go anywhere. they're like, dropping off trees, and they're great, and they're fresh. But they are, like, a hot commodity out here. You can't get them.
In Wisconsin, our gas station cheese curds are better than what you would find, man, for sure.
To die for. Right?
Mike – LA's gain is Appleton's loss, but I'm glad you spent this time with us. I can't wait to have you back on again, and I can't wait to see what you do next, buddy. It's been great having you on the show, and great getting to know you.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
You got it. That is Michael Patrick McGill. Check him out in Shameless, on Bosch. On The Office is Kenny Anderson. We didn't get to that. We'll do that next time. But great guy. Well, it was fun to have Mike on. Greg Schwemm is coming up in just a few minutes. He is a syndicated columnist, and he writes for his own column, The Humor Hotel, on Tribune Media Services. We're going to tell you about a really cool event coming up to help fight cancer. That's coming up at 7:20. How are we doing on text, Conrad?
We got some text to read.
All right. Let's get some of these done. So your dad said...
Bob Uecker.
And Mike McGill said, I'd love to see Uke do a love scene. So I don't know if I agree with him there, but everything else he said, I pretty much agreed with. Monica in Mount Horeb, she's in the 608, says, Travis Kelce did a respectable job in Grotesquerie.
Yeah, I believe that is.
Was that one a movie? I didn't see
it's
that.
It was like a zombie show, I think, or vampires or something.
Sounds like a good Travis Kelce vehicle. But she says, but Bob Uecker. So that's her first choice too. Another vote for Uecker, which is great. Edward in the 414 says, not sure if he counts as an athlete, but Sean Connery placed third in the 1953 Mr. Universe contest in London. Check out the pic online. That's our second Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Crazy. And I did see that picture earlier. He was a mountain of muscle. AJ from the 608 says, hey, P and K, I'm going to say Carl Weathers for sure.
There you go.
We agree with you, AJ. 414 says Terry Crews. Thank you, 414. AJ from the 608 again says Predator is one of the best movies of all time. Change my mind. I mean, look, when I first saw Predator with that, it was like state-of-the-art effects at the time. I thought it was amazing. And yeah, it's kind of corny. I love the scene. There's a scene at the beginning where Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers like shake hands and they zoom in on their biceps. Even when I was like 20, I'm like, this is so lame. But when the action kicks in, it's phenomenal. So I would not try to change your mind, AJ. Thank you for the text. We'll get to more of your texts in just a bit. Greg Schwemm is coming up next. I am Peach Wabba. This is Nightlight. Conrad riding shotgun. A beautiful night in downtown Green Bay. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. I want to give a shout out to my pal Mike Desitel, who is the one who put me in touch with Mike McGill. And he said, oh, there's a guy from Appleton. He's an actor. And I was like, oh, that's great. And then I looked him up and I'm like, I know Mike McGill. I've seen him in a ton of stuff. So it was great talking to Mike. And thank you, Mike Desitel. Mike's social media comment to our question of the night, who is the best professional athlete turned actor? Mike said, are you waiting for someone to say O.J. Simpson? I thought about O.J. Simpson earlier and I was going to say it as a joke, but I can't even say him as a joke.
Wasn't he in Naked Gun?
He was in the original Naked Gun. And he was fine. He wasn't great. He was just...
He probably had other things on his mind.
Yeah, no kidding. Daniel Wheeler says, Mike Ditka playing Mike Ditka in Kicking and Screaming.
Yes.
Yeah, he did well, but that's not really a stretch.
It was super funny.
It was. He followed himself around to get in character. Amanda Nimmer, our pal Amanda from here at WGBW, says, John Cena, the man has taken some of the most absurd roles and has become a very versatile actor. And Conrad added a quote that said, Ricky Stenicki is my fave. You guys both are big fans of the Seaman.
I love Ricky Stenicki. It's hilarious.
And Jay Campbell on social media says, Bob Uecker. Great one, Jay. Thank you. We've got some more text line texts to get to. We'll get to those in a while. First, I want to bring on my good friend. He is also a syndicated columnist. He writes a column for his own column at Humor Hotel, and you can see his stuff at Tribune Media Services, and he's an all-around swell guy. Mr. Greg Schwemm joins us now. Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. Good to see you again, Pete. And you know what? Can I just jump in? I think as far as he hasn't really been in movies, but I'm going to go with Peyton Manning as far as just comedic timing. I mean, okay. We always see him as commercials, so... But I mean, I don't know why the guy hasn't done more. I mean, Saturday Night Live, I think, was one of the funniest episodes that an athlete hosted.
Interesting. What did you see the one Tom Brady hosted years ago?
Yes.
I thought that was really funny too. When he was in his underwear in the office.
Yes. And, yeah. Yeah. I thought that I thought that they wrote good stuff for Tom Brady to do.
Right.
I think Peyton Manning is just naturally funny. And he's like that. I actually worked a corporate gig with him, and he's also good at improvising. He's
Oh, really?
A good off the cuff guy too.
And he yells Omaha, even when he audibles at a corporate event or
at a corporate event. Yeah, exactly.
That's what they pay for to hear him say that, bro.
Right.
Well, that's cool. Thanks, Greg. I was going to ask you that anyway. So how are you? Talked in a while.
It has been. It's been about 4 months or so. So yeah, it's been a great summer. And loving the Chicago weather, just like I'm sure you're loving the Wisconsin weather.
Oh, man.
Beautiful right now.
Gorgeous.
You know?
Do you have a sunburn right now?
I do have a sunburn. Okay. I am outside an awful lot. And I just got finished with about a 5 mile walk.
Oh my gosh.
Perfect day for that. But I have spent almost the whole summer outside because we may have talked about this before, but I have taken on a side hustle when I'm not on the road doing comedy or so. We're like, I have a corporate gig here in Chicago on Friday. I was in Atlanta last week for a corporate gig, but I give tours of Chicago. Walking and bike tours. And the weather has been, I've done that most of the summer. Love it. And the weather's just been so great. And I have spent my whole summer outside.
Wow. Well, you got to put some aloe on. That's all I'm saying is get something. Give these tours, Greg, are you having to avoid the ICE groups or the military in Chicago? Or
We have not seen the military yet. I get asked questions about that all the time. And I did predict so far correctly that the National Guard would not be coming to Chicago.
I started to get asked
by that. I said, they're not coming, and I don't think they'll be here. ICE is a different story, but
yeah.
The city has been so chill and so accommodating, I think, this summer, and tourism is just booming.
Oh, that's so great.
I don't really quite know where we're getting that, crime cesspool of crime thing.
Well, I know where it's coming
from. We know where we're getting it, but yeah. Yeah. But it ain't happening.
What are your favorite places to go in Chicago, Greg? Like if you're giving tours and you're showing off your city, what are your favorite spots to show people?
Well, it's interesting because the tours that I give, are pretty structured. So I work for a company and we have them. So There's three that I give. The one is the most popular one is the one that you would expect when you come to Chicago. Like if you had one day and you would go see Michigan Avenue and the Bean and Millennium Park, and you'd go down State Street and you'd see the Chicago Theater and the Wrigley Building and all that kind of, you know, that kind of stuff, Marina Towers. I give another one. This is on bikes. And this one goes through like five different neighborhoods. It starts down in like Streeterville, where the John Hancock building is, goes all the way up to Wrigley Field. And we go through several different neighborhoods. We go through Lakeview and Lincoln Park.
Nice.
And I love giving that one because it really gives people a chance to see where Chicagoans live. I always tell my groups, if you've got more than one day, you need to get out into the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
You need to get into Logan Square and Wicker Park and Edgewater, because that's where Chicagoans live. You know, it's like I always tell people, I go, we don't, for the most part, we don't live on Michigan Avenue.
Right.
Just like if you go to New York City, you know, people don't live in Times Square. They live on the Upper West Side and down in the Village and so forth. So I've spent a lot of the summer going to neighborhood festivals. And I love them because they're all like that weekend, the neighborhood, I don't care how much crime there is in the neighborhood or how they always put their best foot forward.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to Taste of Cabrini this weekend. That's going to be awesome. And, you know, an Englewood Fest was great.
I would do that too. Like I typically, when I go there now, I do the more touristy things or go to Second City or the zoo or whatever, but yeah, give me a tavern on a corner in a great neighborhood, man. Like that's the stuff I miss the most.
A BYOB, a BYOB restaurant.
Yeah.
An ethnic restaurant. To me, those are, that's city living.
And, all right. I love it. We are coming right back with Greg Schwemm. We're going to tell you about a really cool event he is part of to help raise funds for cancer. That is coming up next after the news. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tomorrow night on the show, folks, we make the popcorn pick of the week every Thursday night at 6:35. And from the Capital Times, Victoria Davis will be making the pick. And then we have Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens joining us to update us on all things sports. That is tomorrow night on Nightlight. Right now, we're going to get back to our guest, Greg Schwemm. He's a syndicated columnist. He writes his own column called The Humor Hotel, and you can check out his work on Tribune Media Services. He has really funny stuff there and insightful as well. And he joins us tonight. We're going to talk about a really cool event he has coming up at Zany's in Chicago. I know we have some Chicago listeners, and we'll ask Greg, what is this? How did this come about, Greg? First of all, tell us what it is. It's for Colorectal Cancer, the Alliance. Tell us what it is.
Yeah, so it's actually at Zany's Rosemont, so it's the bigger of the rooms.
So okay.
It's the room right by the O'Hare Airport. So I became a colon cancer survivor in February of 24. I had a cancerous tumor removed. And nice. After that, I got a totally clean bill of health, which was a great thing. And after that, I started to kind of get involved in fundraising and sort of lend my efforts to live events where we were trying to raise money. I co-hosted something called the Blue Hope Bash back in May. And I asked some of the folks who work for the Colorectal Cancer Alliance full time, have you ever had a stand-up comedy event? And they said, no, we've never had one in the whole country, which I found a little bit odd, I guess.
Yeah.
It just seems like such a natural way to raise money. And I said, well, I would like to be the one to organize the very first one. So in Chicago here, there's a WGN-TV. There is a reporter named Mike Lowe, and he had stage 3 colon cancer, and he is doing great as well. But I reached out to him and I said, you know, you're on television and so forth, and would you like to lend your efforts to it? And he said, sure. And then I was doing some jokes in some of my shows about just going through surgery and so forth and trying to find some things to laugh at about. And I was working with a comedian named Jason Cross, who's a Chicago guy. And he said, you know, I've had experience with it too. And I thought, well, okay, we should all just get together here. I thought it would be interesting to have everybody on the bill have had a, what we call it, a journey, a personal journey. Mm-hmm. And yet we're all fine and we're all healthy and we're all showing that we're willing to laugh at it. So the event is called Laugh Your Ass Off. And all of the money, you know,
how appropriate is that, Greg? Come on.
Exactly. But let's just call it what it is. And all the money that we're raising is going to go to the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. So, so I'm headlining, Jason's featuring, Mike's going to MC, and we just can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's this coming Sunday, September 21st at 6 PM at Zany's Rosemont. And for your Chicago listeners, for your ones that are even just over the border, come on down. I mean, it's not that far of a trek for people living in southern Wisconsin. And I'm getting so many calls and emails from people who are saying, well, you know, I'm coming because my dad had colon cancer or my mom died of colon cancer.
Oh, wow.
And this would be a great way to help support that. So if you know of somebody who had it, or if it's you know, this is a very common form of cancer. It's the second leading cause of death among cancer patients, but it's also one of the most treatable forms of cancer if it's caught early. Right. So it's a little bit of an awareness show as well.
Wow. Well, I wish you luck. I hope you pack the joint. And as Greg mentioned, it's this Sunday, September 21st at 6 PM at Zany's in Rosemont. That's a beautiful room. The newest of the Zany's.
I love that room.
Yeah. And everybody talks about how they don't like the downtown room. It only seats like 90 people and you're cramped right. in there. I love it. I love the nostalgia.
Way up on top.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Well, you know what that room used to be, right?
Yeah. It was like was it a strip club or they shoot pornos
yeah.
there or something like
it
that?
It was a
yeah.
strip club. Yeah.
Oh
so
my gosh.
I've always felt that room. So I think you like that room better than me. I've always felt like I was doing well, but not great. You know, like it could turn at any minute.
Yes. Well, third show Saturday, you're counting the minutes to get through that, you know. But,
totally. Well, I always thought for me the worst show, I think this is true at any comedy club, but particularly like big city clubs, I always think second show Friday.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
The late show Friday, because here's my theory about late shows on Friday. I always feel like everybody in the audience, none of them planned to be there. You know, the Uber just threw them out in front of the club. Like, right. I've had it with you guys. And they're just like, oh, well, let's go in here.
Right.
You know, on Saturday, you plan your evening.
That's
you
true.
Know, like, we're going to go see comedy on Saturday. You don't know what the hell you're doing on Friday night.
Yeah, Friday you start at happy hour at like 4, yeah. and then by 10 o'clock,
escalates.
You're hammered. Yeah, and, right. and then you find yourself as a heckler. Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty funny.
Right. This is great, Greg. It's called it's for colorectal cancer. It's the Colorectal Cancer Alliance this Sunday. How do people get tickets, Greg?
You know, they can go to the Zany's Rosemont website.
Okay.
That would probably be the best way. You just, you know, if you don't know what that is, just Google Zany's Rosemont. There's a link to tickets out there, and they're $37. And as I said, all the money, I'll be doing a book signing afterwards. All of the money raised does go to, we're all doing this, you know, we are all volunteering our time as we should be. And all the money is going to go to people who need it and also just for a cause.
That's great. I know you're a stand-up guy. I didn't think you were pulling like a Krusty the Clown, like, folks, those limos don't pay for themselves. Greg Schwemm is my guest. Check out his work. He writes the column Humor Hotel. You can see all of his articles at Tribune Media Services. All right. I want to bring this up, Greg, because I thought you said you had an article. It's coming out. So that's a perfect time to plug your column. Greg has an article coming up about the woman who ran over and bullied a father into giving her the foul ball at a Phillies game. And it's so, we are so polarized. It's so funny how everyone says she's a liberal, she's a conservative, who she's just out of control, whatever she is.
Right.
And you know, the dad, like, I can't wait to read your article, but what did you think about the incident?
Well, you know, the thing about it is every time, and we've been seeing stuff like this all summer. You know, I mean, there was the U.S. Open tennis where it was signing and the guy grabs the hat and so forth. But there have been a couple of the ball incidents, too. And I guess, and here's why I started thinking about it. I was in Atlanta last week, as I said, and I went to a Cubs-Braves game. in Atlanta. And I'm sitting in the left field. They don't call it the bleachers out there, but our equivalent of the bleachers. And I'm in the second row, and there's a guy in front of me. So he's in the first row. This is a fully grown adult, and he's got a glove. He's got a baseball glove. And so I said to him, I go, okay. I go, because I like to talk to everybody around me. And I go, if you get a ball, because he's obviously ready for one.
Right.
I go, what are you going to do with it? He goes, I'm going to give it to a kid. And I go, exactly. Which I think is pretty big of him to have the glove. I thought when I saw the guy with the glove, he didn't strike me as somebody who would give a ball away. You know, it's like if you bring a glove to a game, you're there.
It's just a baseball reason. Nerd. Yeah.
Yeah. But think about it, Pete. If you're 9 years old and you get a ball from a game, you're going to bring it to school the next day. Yeah. You're going to sleep with it. You're going to let every kid touch it and grip it. You're going to do the same thing, and you're going to be like the king of the school. And that's great. But if you're an adult, okay, if you're a fully grown adult, what are you going to do with a baseball? Unless it's like Mark McGwire's 70th home run.
Right.
You know, are you going to like bring it to a party and like, hey, you everybody, look what I got. You know, and like the host is going to look at you like, I was kind of hoping you'd bring a vegetable tray. But yeah, right. Thanks for bringing the baseball. Seriously, what is she going to do with a foul ball?
Well, and she didn't get it. I'm sorry.
No.
You didn't get there first. That's kind of how the whole thing works. It's like saying, well, you know, I really meant to win the lottery. I just didn't.
Right. Yeah, well, I was planning to go. I was right behind the guy in the grocery in the gas.
Right.
They got the winning ticket. I agree.
Oh, that.
So, but yeah, I just, it's like, seriously, what is she going to do with that baseball? If
right.
She got it. Is she going to take it home? You know, is she going to mount it? Is she going to frame it? Is she going to, is she going to look at it every night before she goes to sleep? At what point do things like that stop having value? What point in your adult life?
I know. And I don't know how, like, everybody's judging her. She's going to go into work and people are like, oh, morning.
Yeah,
like
you.
Yeah, exactly. Like if she just came out and said, you know, in the heat of the moment, I messed up. I'm sorry. Here's the ball. People would probably go, right. Okay, I could see that,
yeah,
you know,
that's
but
the way to go.
Yeah. Ugh. Hey,
I would definitely, I mean, I would give a ball to a kid. I would look around.
Oh,
if
yeah.
I grabbed it. And who knows? I might, you know, I might be with all these other people grabbing for the ball. But if I did come up with it,
right.
I would immediately go around. And at the Braves Cubs game, there was a kid sitting like three with his parents. He was probably like four sitting with his parents. And I would have loved to have just said, hey, buddy, take that. Have a great evening, you know?
Don't you almost hope you get that opportunity? Like
I do,
you know,
I do. I want that to happen.
I want to be a hero. Damn it.
Yes.
Hey, you also, like I did not, this is one of the articles I didn't get to read, but you said you had a take on the Kiss cam at the Coldplay concert. Tell me what that was. And I got to find the article.
I said the article was advice from the Coldplay Kiss cam guy from a guy who's never, ever been there. Type of thing. So I think, you know, I basically said that this guy should start like his own business for people who the same thing, you know, like how not for this to happen and what you should do if it does. Because, you know, there's been books written about people who've been shamed on the internet,
right?
By people who have been shamed on the internet. And I thought this guy, it's like, you know, you got to turn this into a positive some way.
Right.
Yeah, and I gave a bunch of advice for the guy, but it was, you know, that came out. That was another thing, bad stadium behavior, you know?
Right.
That's what I said. That's what I said. I'm trying to remember how I worded it in the baseball column, but, you know, they were behaving badly, or in the case of the Kiss cam guy, unfaithfully. That was his thing.
You know, it's one of those things where I'm like, God, if he had just like put his head into the back of her hair to hide his face, like instead of making a big production. And when did it become this, Greg? Like what, like obviously, okay, they're fooling around. That's not cool. I get it. But he has to resign. The company says, oh, we're better than that. No. Listen, this happens everywhere. If somebody can get big, big savings, they don't give a damn what the CEO is doing at that company.
I agree. As long as the stock price keeps going
up. Yes.
Yeah, who cares?
I know.
I agree. I agree. It's the knee jerk reaction we have sometimes to something is just out of control.
We hate that guy and that girl. Yeah, right. Like, okay.
We hate that guy that we all worked for that gave us good lives.
That's a bit of an escalation.
And great Christmas bonuses. That guy's a jerk.
Greg, we have about a minute left. Do you have any other live dates coming up or anything you want to pitch or your book? Tell us where we can see the book.
Yeah, the book is the book, which I'm going to be signing copies of at the colon cancer benefit. So the book is it's actually been out about a year now, but people keep buying it, and I like that. So it's my latest book is Turning Gut Punches into Punchlines: A Comedian's Journey Through Cancer, Divorce, and Other Hilarious Stuff.
Oh my gosh!
And it was fun to write. It wasn't easy to write, but it was fun to write, and people are. I get emails every now and then from people saying I really enjoyed your book and it helped me a lot. So you can get that on Amazon.
Well, right now I'm more worried about the sunburn, even though you've been through a lot. Yeah, so take care of that.
I'm starting to get worried about it too. I just want to keep this glow all the way through February.
Aloe up, and we'll have you back on soon, buddy. Great talking to you. Have a great night, Greg.
All right.
Check out the event at Zany's on Sunday night. We'll recap that when we come back. It's Pete Schwabit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. We are winding down this Wednesday. Conrad, do you know who Eric Andrews is?
That I don't. Is that?
We've got 414 here says Eric Andrews. He was White Chicks, Everybody Hates Chris, Friday After Next. Is she talking about Terry Crews?
I think Eric Andrews might be the person's name. Because Terry Crews was in the
it's the same
White
phone
Chicks.
Number.
Everybody hates.
All right, that makes sense. Sometimes these texts get so crazy. They get discombobulated. We need Dan Schaefer to come here and recombobulate.
Yeah,
our text.
I think so.
Look at the stream; it's flipping out. Unless that's a thing you're doing.
I'm not doing anything. I think it's on your side.
It's a crazy ghost chair. Conrad's mom checks in and says Terry Crews. Another one for Terry Crews. He's doing a great job as the host of America's Got Talent. Thank you, Paula.
My favorite thing that he's done is Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's so funny in that.
He is funny. He was the guy in the Old Spice commercials too, right?
Yes.
Power. Was that him?
Yeah, maybe. Honestly, I don't remember that part.
Monica from Mount Horeb in the 608 says, don't remember if you said professional or just athlete. Had to look it up, but Jason Statham was an Olympic diver. Okay. I think... Yeah, Mike, I thought, said he was a swimmer, but she says, I'm a bit obsessed with him. That's okay, Monica. We all have our showbiz crushes.
Yeah.
John Murray in Madison says, OJ, damn the luck. He hurt my heart when stuff hit the fan. Yeah, that was, I mean.
It more than just a fan.
It was just an awful thing in American history. John said he was good and it seemed unlikely, but respectable cameo performances by terrifying linebacker for the Bears, Dick Butkus, were always fun. And that's true. Of cameo, he was good, but I remember he was like in stuff and I was like, come on. John also says there was a special feeling you would get when he acted in a civilized manner. Dick Butkus, I think he's still, oh, John's a Dick Butkus fan. Dick Butkus used to be the color guy on the Bear broadcasts and all he would do was go, ah, come on. Get him! It's like, okay, thank you for the insights.
I think that's how I'd be if I was on the Packers network.
Steady Eddie in the 608 says, Pete, two best athletes turned actors, Dick Pigskin Wilson, all-pro middle linebacker for the Detroit Lions in the 1950s, who later played Mr. Whipple, the Please Don't Squeeze the Charmin guy. Didn't we just do this with Steady Eddie? He says, I lied. Yeah. Is this an old text or is he plagiarizing himself?
Just keep going.
All right. He says, I lied. Dick Wilson never played football, but he certainly could squeeze the Charmin with the best of them. That's what she said. Honorable mention. This one is somewhat true. Pete Big Dunker Schwabe. I almost made a very serious reading error there. Pete Big Dunker Schwabe, legendary playground pickup basketballer who would later go on to direct, produce, and star in the acclaimed movie, The Godfather of Green Bay. Note, nickname Big Dunker relates more to Pete's prowess with a chocolate donut and a cup of Joe than his basketball abilities. Steady Eddie knows me well. They honor and celebrate Mr. Schwabba at Dunkin' Donuts every time he walks through the door. Wouldn't that be cool?
That's a, you know, if you get a free cup of Joe and a free chocolate donut every time you walked in, that's a pretty sweet deal.
That's a great deal. Eddie, let's start something there. Steady Eddie. Great text. Steady Eddie brought it tonight for sure. All right, so you are, this is weird. I'm not going to say anything before I know what happened, but Jimmy Kimmel has been fired.
Yes. His show is off air now.
Getting out of hand. All right, I'm going to save my judgment until I know the full facts, but we do have a clip.
Yes.
I'm going to let you set this up because I haven't seen this yet.
Well, I was looking for some clips, you know, today, like actors that, or athletes that did some bad acting, and a lot of it was Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, he's pretty
and
bad.
And this clip came up, and I thought it was hilarious, and it's Gary Oldman on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and I think that's all to set up. It's just, it's
all
great.
Right. Sweet.
If we've learned anything from Shaq, it's that when an NBA player acts, it doesn't usually turn out well, but now finally, someone is doing something about it.
Hi, I'm Gary Oldman, actor. Some of you may know me from such films as Dracula, Air Force One, and Kung Fu Panda 2. I just as a professional basketball player, spends hours on the court, mastering every aspect of his game. I, Gary Oldman, studied acting for many years to perfect my craft. And just as I, Gary Oldman, actor, would never try and join an NBA team just because I'm famous, I, Gary Oldman, would very much appreciate it if professional basketball players would stay the f*** out of movies! Who the hell told you you could act? The director on your Powerade commercial? You're not actors! Some of you can't even speak English! You suck! Get it? You suck!
See how I did that?
Who
That's
told
good
you?
Acting.
Who told
you? You
feel
the emotion?
The
I can do that. You can.
The director of your Powerade commercial.
Oh, it's so funny.
Gorgeous. When was that? How old
that was
is that?
That was 2012.
Oh, man, that's funny.
And, you know, no one listened to Gary Oldman.
You know what would be funny, though, is if, like, I think it would be funny if Gary Oldman tried to play basketball. That would probably be funnier because the professional athlete acting would just kind of be like, oh, come on, seriously, you're wasting my time. But him doing basketball would be funny.
You know, at the end of the clip, he shot a basketball and shot it over the backboard.
Did he really? Oh, that's very funny. What was the clip we played of him where they kept adding the fart noise? Oh, that was Colbert. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Interviewing him, and he said, because they were talking about him on Slow Horses, where his character is kind of just this grotesque guy who farts and doesn't really wash. And Gary Oldman is a great sense of humor. He was laughing hysterically. All right, folks, coming up, we have a great picture tonight. Window Love, nice couple. Not a Kiss Cam couple.
Go like it on Facebook.
Go like it on Facebook. Just like us on Facebook. We like to be liked. Coming up tomorrow night is Victoria Davis will be here making the popcorn pick of the week, where we give you a movie pick that you can watch over the weekend. And Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens will be here in studio. I am jazzed about that. It'll be good to see Mike in person. And we'll do all that tomorrow night. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, we'd like to thank our guests, Mike McGill and Greg Schwemm. We'll be back tomorrow night. Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.